This week on The Droids, The Mandalorian, Chapter 19. Oh, wait a second. It's the Book of Boba Fett. Well, it was a lot of fun. We're going to talk about it on The Droids.
Gong, gong.
Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris and Ryan, I am Mike and cannot wait to talk about this hour of television, streaming, whatever you want to call it. Whoa, it was a lot of fun. Boy, it's a lot to, you know, Ryan, I don't think I'm going to have to pull the positive out of you this week.
I'm a tiger in a cage, Mike.
Yeah, as soon as we saw it. Ryan was telling us literally, like, early in the day yesterday, and not to blow anyone's cover of work, but he's like, I just got to watch this. You were a boiling pot.
I just kept saying, you guys won't believe what you're like, they did.
Well, you told me, yeah.
This, I've been saying, I can't get over it. I know that Sam shares this sentiment. The audacity with which they... So first off, we're going to talk
about...
There's no preamble. It's a great episode of television.
Yeah.
Right? It's a great episode of television. It's an episode of not the show that we're watching.
Nope.
I've never, ever, and I don't even mean this in a good way, really. I've never seen anyone do this. We're in the middle of a season of one show. They show an episode of another show.
Yeah.
Now
call
there's been
it the show that we're watching. It's literally like if you were watching Frasier and episode 13. It's not like Frasier visited Cheers. It was just an episode of Cheers. Where at the end, someone says, hey, remember Frasier? And like you're like, hey, that's I guess it's cool because I like Cheers and Frasier sucks. But at the same time, are they just allowed to pivot in the middle of a season and show us a different show?
There are bottle episodes. There are episodes where you go off on a story with a character and it doesn't involve the rest of the characters. And that happens.
Yes.
But not in this, or even like backdoor pilots where you're setting up something else. Like there's the episode of The Office in season 9 when you go to Shroot Farms and it literally is just an episode of their upcoming show that they'd never made, Shroot Farms. But it's you've never had anything like this where a ongoing series that is tied to it pivots completely to the other character and ignores anything that is related to the story that we're already in. I guess you could argue that this is going to pay off in the next two episodes. So it's a setup for how he's going to be involved in the next two episodes. However, we've had no story conversation in this Book of Boba Fett show about the Mandalorian until the music, the prior episode. That's it. That doesn't mean that you've set up a warranted, like, let's go off and tell this story to set up the rest of what we're doing, especially when there's already been two seasons of that show elsewhere.
I wager that the next episode, it will just be called The Mandalorian.
crazy is that? Like, what is happening?
Did they just pull a fast one on us where it's like, yeah, there was actually no Book of Boba
I understand.
Fett. It was just a prelude to Mando.
These
differences imagine if it's just Mando season 3 now.
These differences are all nuanced, right?
Yeah.
Like what you're talking about, backdoor pilots and like bottle episodes. But like, I feel like a astute enough watcher to know that this was an episode of The Mandalorian. I've never seen a backdoor. I've never seen, what do they call it? A front door season premiere.
Well, it's also like it was not only an episode of The Mandalorian. It was a very good episode of The Mandalorian.
It was a great episode of The Mandalorian. That was also a very important episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, exactly. We learned after learning nothing, almost losing information. We've learned so much out of this one episode in all the worlds. Like the amount of details we gathered in this episode was incredible.
And like, you know, by all intents and purposes, the same creative team, except that they just really have a bead on this guy.
Did they have like was there just like a lever that they were like, well, all right, we got this episode of Boba, or we've got this episode of Mando. What's Twitter saying? pull the lever.
Were they getting sick of spending time with Boba Fett too? And they were like in the writer's room.
They're just like, where is this?
They were
going?
Just like, oh, yeah, like, I wish we could just write an episode of The Mandalorian.
How does that process happen where they're just like, and then? I wonder what the Mandalorian's up to.
Well, I have so many questions about the decision-making process of doing this, and we're not going to get any answers. I've continued, and I've texted it many times to the group. I just want to know, like, an oral history of what Star Wars and the back-end conversations that have been going on for the last 5 years. Because how have they made these decisions? It's absolutely insane to me. And I love Kathleen Kennedy. I'm a huge fan of Kathleen Kennedy. I don't know. I think maybe in some ways she's like, Favreau's done no wrong. So if he wants to do this, you know, why not?
Fact that they literally switched to another show in the middle of the season shows that it really illustrates that maybe this one really got away from them. Because, and again, this, like, make no mistake, I think this was a great episode.
Right.
So of the quote unquote Book of Boba Fett. Yes. I texted you guys before you guys knew what the quote unquote twist
I was like really
and
anxious
I just,
to see what's going to happen.
Saying,
yeah.
It's the best episode of the show so far. I was getting cheeky where I was like, it's hard to even believe it's the same show. Because it's not. And it was just, I can get over the gall. Like, it is so great.
What's hilarious too was that it wasn't Boba Fett that interacted with the Mandalorian. It was Fennec. Again,
also, the name of the episode is The Return of the Mandalorian, but in-world, they've been away from the Mandalorian for, like, 3 days. Like, they just had their adventure with him.
Yep, yep.
And they were like, so it's really just telling, it's talking to us.
Yes.
The Return of the Mandalorian.
Yeah, it's the book. It's in the book that we're reading. So you got the Book of the Wills, and you have the Book of the Boba Fett. So, I was floored. I thought, not only was this an exceptional episode of the best episode of the Book of Boba Fett, it was just an exceptional episode of television in general and world building for Star Wars. Like it felt like all the fun parts that were missing. It felt like this was for a completely different audience. Like,
It reminded me, like, I have my gripes with the end of the season 2 of The Mandalorian, but it reminded me, like, how good that show is.
Exactly. Remember how good it is? And it's also, like, how fun and nice Star Wars can be when, like, I guess when it's doing something.
Yeah, and even that, we still ended up on Tatooine.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We can't get off Tatooine. But at that, it was a fun trip. We went through that nice kind of just airplane parallel. I just feel like this is just, like, We were given a story here that was almost like a sense of relief. And maybe that's what was required throughout this season of Boba Fett. And you know what? Maybe it's going to kind of lighten the load for the rest of the season of Boba Fett now that we got our Tin Man back. But it was weird. There was weird parts to it. It was funny. It was like kind of a little bit hopeful. And then, oh, man, I think, was it Sam who said it was Doug Chang's birthday? Because of all of his great references that he got to get in there again.
Yeah.
His wonderful ship design and all that good stuff. I believe that's his designs.
I'd say a sense of relief is like a great way to put it. Even like in terms of like dissonance. Like have you ever watched someone who like play guitar who's really bad, but then like they end on a end on a really nice G chord, and you're right, well, okay. You're like,
oh, yeah, exactly. He's got good tone, but he needs some practice. Yeah.
It felt like that, where it was like, all right, at least we can, like, settle into something here.
Yeah, exactly. And then they were, like, they were pulling tricks, too. There was, like, a 3-minute oner where they went on an elevator. Like, that's a magic trick in film.
I didn't notice that until the second time I watched it. Yeah. Because I watched this episode two times because I enjoyed it so much.
They did the Star Trek thing, which I was like, how do they do that in that first Chris Pine Star Trek? And then they did it again, probably in the volume.
Well, the volume makes it more complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't spin the volume.
Yeah, exactly. What are they, like, turning the channel on the screen or something as it goes on? It was
So what happens on this episode of the Book of Boba Fett? We're with Din Djarin,
yeah,
and we learn a lot about him.
Yeah,
we learn where he's been since the end of season 2.
and he's back to his bounty hunter ways.
We learn more about the Mandalorian lore.
Yes.
This is in 45 minutes. We learn where he's been. We learn where he is emotionally. He goes on an adventure. We also he's dismissed from the Mandalorian culture.
His entire creed he's been living for his entire life, that has been one of the main cruxes of his character for two seasons, is brought up in an ancillary separate show that if you only watch The Mandalorian, you wouldn't know that this character has lost what's made him who he is.
Right. So this and I'm not even saying, I think it's done beautifully. Like, this is just like they get a lot of storytelling done really efficiently.
Yes, it is a very tight storytelling.
The script is good, so, you know, Jon Favreau could. Bryce Dallas Howard directed a brilliant episode of television.
Oh, yeah. It was so tight.
It's so tight. Like, when I say light on its feet, I just mean that it has, like, the lightest touch in terms of it just, like, it moves so briskly, and all of these things feel organic. Literally, all of those things happen in the first 20 minutes of the episode. More happens in the first 20 minutes of this episode than the last four episodes of the Book of Boba Fett. Like, the amount of things that are answered, the amount of things that are posed as questions, he starts next steps in his life. Yeah. It's, like, crazy.
And they did the thing. He's talking about Grogu. Like, he's building the longing of Grogu. I didn't think they would talk about Grogu for a long time. Like,
let alone imply that Grogu reunion is on the horizon soon with whatever. Exactly.
Are they essentially so I was thinking this while this is happening. Are they doing basically the Defenders and Boba Fett is like the Iron Fist, where it's just like all of the other shows were good, and it's like, well, this one sucks, but it's building up to like the big thing?
Yes, I do believe that that's what these series are probably geared towards, is some kind of massive team up in the form of when the time comes to do a movie, but most likely another series that's like I mean, probably we've all kind of guessed, speculated, the Thrawn series or something like that. It's definitely leading towards something, and I think this is just one sign that, like, hey, MCU does it, we can throw all these people together and people love it, why don't we just do this with Star Wars now?
But this is like if we had like two Thors.
Exactly. Maybe people were getting so confused by the Mandalorian.
Well,
the
that's
Book
so
of
funny
because
the,
like,
that,
we need to show up at the same place at the same time so people know they're different.
That
characters.
Big reveal, quote unquote, at the beginning where it's like his silhouette and then he comes out, and is like, if you weren't a really trained eye, you would just think, yeah, it's Boba Fett.
Yeah. Well, it took me a couple times. In the music, I was like, wait a second. That's Mandalorian.
If you didn't watch The Mandalorian and you only are watching Book of Boba Fett because you're like, I love Boba Fett or like whatever, wouldn't you be like, was anyone in the world watching the show being like, is this Boba Fett?
The silhouette reveal is a very funny thing to do.
It's hysterical.
And I mean, he's back, and he's like kind of back into his old form a little bit as well. He's killing people, taking their heads. I thought he changed a little bit.
He's using the darksaber.
Yeah, he's using that heavy darksaber.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good
they
point.
Were really they were really respecting George on that, because he was always into like lightsabers are heavy, like Excalibur.
Right.
That's
exactly.
That's why in the original they always had to use two hands.
So, I'm just gonna say it. I think that the remaining surviving Mandalorians should not live in such a dangerous place.
It's right on the edge there.
With no railings like all of Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
Like maybe that's not a place.
I guess they have jetpacks.
That's another thing. Yeah. There was like true suspense in that fight.
Yeah, there was. I actually was worried for a minute.
Yeah, my toes were curling. I was afraid he was going to fall off the edge.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit like I was watching like the recently released Green Knight. Like, it felt like that kind of energy when he's like, I'm going to duel you. I want the sword.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like...
And the Mandalorian's like, and I will fight you here upon this Christmas day.
Yeah, exactly. Mandalorian, first most, is a Christmas TV series. it was definitely... I mean, I'm surprised, and it's surprising delight. And I think this must have... do you think this was in the cards the whole time, or it was like a scheduling thing where Bryce Dallas Howard's like, I really want to do another episode of Mandalorian, but it doesn't film for 2 years?
It's so weird because I am obviously delighted by this episode.
Yes.
But I'm also like a little bit like, what?
From what
I was talking about last time, where it was like, it's like crass how they're exploiting like our fandom.
Yes.
And like this time I'm like, you didn't even want to try with this show that you just like made it another show in the middle.
Yes. Yeah. And then we got both. Not only did they do that, then they laid in the references. Like they've somehow brought it back to a familiarized Star Wars world that was not just sand people. And Tatooine. They brought it back to Episode One, and they threw in a Last Jedi reference before Jedi.
The father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Yeah.
I was like, wow! They're just really going for the whole.
They went for the whole shebang. BD was in it. BD from Fallen Order.
Yes.
From my Fallen Order.
Yeah. Watch
that
on YouTube. Make
first
sure you watch
and foremost,
on
BD from my Fallen Order playthroughs is in this.
Yes. And also, I'm going to say Mando, you probably could have figured out where that plate went.
He could have done it, I was thinking the same thing. I think that could have.
Show me where this goes.
Thanks, bud.
I also want to say it's like the suit. Yes, he wore the helmet, and he wore the suit the entire time. So obviously, I was going to love it. But boy, did it look so much better. Maybe it's just because they let us bask in it, and they let me stare at the front of the helmet, and I was just like, ooh, this looks so good. Why can't I stare at the front of Boba Fett's helmet? Why?
Dare I say, and like, listen, I know I'm going to get grief on the internet from this. Dare I say, the Mandalorian suit always looked better than Boba Fett's.
Wow.
That's right.
I mean, I don't agree with that, but I can see where you're
coming.
I thought that the bold take that you were about to say was that in this last 3 years, the Mandalorian has become the better Star Wars character and the character that should deserve all the praise and fandom and subculture that Boba Fett has.
Oh, well, I think. I thought that went without saying everything I've ever said on this podcast.
That's true. But I can take that. you could have stopped before Book of Boba Fett ever premiered.
Yeah.
You might have said, "Hey, the Mandalorian is great." But, you know, Boba Fett has that mystique. We don't know anything about him. He looks so great. You know, you could have made an argument that Boba Fett was still the better personage of characterism from Star Wars or representation of what a cool character from Star Wars could be. And that's now gone. And that to me, that achievement, you know, as much as I don't want to put a feather in Jon Favreau's hat, like, well, he also did a job of taking down the other character too. But I can't believe that we're at a point where I'm debating, like, well, you know, I have my Boba Fett helmet. I think I got to buy a Mando helmet, at least have them both.
Right.
I got to have them both.
Well, I mean, just wait till next week, Mike, when they're both the muscle. They needed the muscle.
Wait, do you mean when I have a Fennec Shand helmet? Because,
yeah, exactly.
Because Fennec Shand's helmet is in the pre-intro as if Fennec Shand is a long-beloved character of Star Wars. This is no offense to Ming-Na Wen at all, you're showing Vader, Kylo Ren, Mandalorian, Boba Fett, Stormtrooper helmet, and Fennec Shand? I mean, they don't really fit. It doesn't really fit.
I will say this. I'd prefer to see a Fennec Shand show than the Boba Fett show.
I mean, at this point,
Listen,
so we got an email that I need to read by threat of violence. No, not really. But it's from our good friend David, friend of the show. Thank you, as always, for writing in. He wanted to say that, you know, this is on track as Jon Favreau wrote this episode and, as we know, created Star Wars. He said, "Hey, Droids Pod, just want to mention to keep up the chef references in the podcast. Always welcome." And this is speaking of crossovers of Mandalorian and Boba Fett. He says he's looking forward to a chef/Dex's Diner crossover if we ever want to write up an audio play.
Yeah, I like that.
I love it.
Yeah. But
so,
you know what?
Right. Yeah, I would love to see that as well.
Yeah.
A chef/Dex's Diner where Roy Choi and Jon Favreau go to Dex's Diner and he teaches them how to make fried tip-yip. And Jon Favreau calls everyone chef.
Right.
And, you know, learns how to mince tip-yip and stuff like that.
Chris, I can't believe you haven't said bucket book yet.
I was just gonna say, you blew my seed. I was just gonna say, well, David, we could make that, but that depends on your pocket book.
I ruined it. I apologize.
It's all right. It's okay. It's okay.
I just you're usually so on the ball.
We still got there. I was honestly Googling the line to make sure I had it right. Depends on what decks.
So
on how good your manners are.
So are they going
to Walter Matthau?
Are they going to get Grogu like next week?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
They need muscle.
We talked about this in our text thread before the podcast. Was like, are they cutting bait? Are they just like, you know what? We'll have Boba Fett still being these last two episodes, but it's just waning interest on that character. And let's have Boba Fett team up and do what he did in episode 10 of season 2.
Yeah.
And he'll just be there on the side. He can look cool, but this is going to go back to focus on Mandalorian.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine this like a little mod squad of Grogu, Boba Fett, Mandalorian Fennec?
Or he said, because at the end he says we're gonna go visit a little friend, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
May it be Wicket W. Warwick.
Oh,
was Tamura was talking about working with a Ewok. He said he did.
All right.
So
do you think that it was like a little Grogu chainmail?
Chain. I thought it was like knight armor. Like
yeah,
chain armor.
Exactly. I thought that was very cool. I thought that was like also a great like world building detail where they're like the only weapon that can pierce the armor is something made of Beskar, so you have to destroy this. Like,
yeah,
cool.
Wasn't that so
interesting?
Such
though,
a cool detail.
But it's kind of interesting because you know lightsabers.
Yeah,
and also the fact that the dark saber definitely was piercing armor of Mandalorians like in that scene earlier.
Yeah, well, so I just thought it's cool that we know now like another
I love that they were like scale. Listen, any weapon that can pierce Beskar should not like should always have as few things that can do that in existence as possible, so like then we should
I have a feeling that there's going to be a point where Mando's gonna get Mando where Mando's gonna be how big your pocketbook is, where Mando's gonna get shot with something that is made of Beskar, or you know, like that's gonna come back, I feel, and we're all gonna know.
So in a bigger sense, so I don't want to be like cynical here, I'm like glad that they gave us this episode of television. I know that people are responding well to this episode, but at the same time, like, there's a piece of me that's like, don't let it, like, dupe you. Like, this is a course correction. This is, like, not a thing. Like, people will be, like, it's going to be similar to, like, the Luke reveal. Although, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. People could feel differently, whatever. But, like, in terms of where it's, like, this is a distraction from, like, the story they claim to be telling. And, while I'm so glad that they did this, because I just wanted that, like, this was a good episode and the rest of the episodes have been so bad. It's like, this isn't how, they shouldn't have had to do this. If they had made a good season of television already, they wouldn't have had to show us an episode from a different show in the middle of it.
Right. I think early on in the season, we kind of talked about, I didn't call this. Specific thing. I think with every season we always say there's kind of like a set piece moment or something, and this potentially could be that set piece for the show.
And it was a different show,
but it is a different show. I mean, that could be the little trick that they're pulling on us, that now that Mandalorian and Boba Fett are going to team up to finish out the season and do whatever they need to do with the Pikes, and then maybe by 8 we'll have another like little special reveal that'll probably be overall inconsequential for the season we just saw, but maybe something in the future, I don't know. So yeah, I agree that it's kind of like we got a little duped, and like it's hard to argue it when you watch it and you enjoy it and you love
it.
And it's you're like, dang it. But then they really really went out of their way though to make an episode of television that like it's gonna be hard to you're going to be really hard-pressed to be like, what are you doing? And then you're like, all right, I'll watch him rebuild this starfighter from episode one. That's pretty cool.
How much of a bummer is it going to be to go back to Boba Fett?
Well, I think they're just going to be together now.
I mean,
yeah,
but they still need wizard. To, like,
finish. He said wizard.
They're still going to have to, like, finish this season.
I know. Maybe they won't. Maybe
I think they will. I think I feel like they will.
What is it? Seven episodes? Six?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, which?
Is it seven or six?
I'll look.
It's seven.
It's seven. Okay,
so we have two more episodes.
We have two more episodes. Right. So this was five. So, I mean, whatever happens.
But for real, though. Okay. Yeah. Like, because now if they're going to get Grogu, this makes this even more, like, this is a joke. Is the big reveal at the end of this season going to be Luke again?
Oh my god. They can't do it.
They're going to go back.
Well, but like, wait, so the
this
other
makes
X-Wing...
it all the more likely that that's what happens.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. So
the other X-Wing pilot was the non, you know, deep fake Luke from the season finale. The actor who stood in for Mark Hamill was the other X-Wing, not the X-Wing pilot who was from Kim's Convenience.
Yeah,
you've seen before.
The guy from
the other
guy. Well, that's season two, episode two. The guy from the ice planet, right?
No, what's he doing hanging around the set?
I know. There you go.
Yeah, and then you know what?
Oh my god, guys, I'm calling it now, because if I'm wrong, it was just a funny joke. But if I'm right,
all right, mark it down. Because look, all right,
mark it
so
down. We got
so last year I called it. Maybe Ryan's got it this year.
Yeah. You got the Luke.
I think the reveal is going to be Luke again.
I'm saying we're going to get a Solo reference in the form of either Solo himself in some kind of CGI form, Falcon, her name's escaping me. Mike, help me out.
Kira.
Yeah, those are my three predictions because of the Pike connection.
The Pikes, good old Pikes from Solo.
You're going Luke's coming back. I mean, he's got to be back,
all
right? Right?
Here's the easier thing, though. They've already announced a Lando series.
Oh,
and
okay.
Lando knew the Pikes, and Lando was in Solo, and Donald Glover, there you go. I mean, that would send me into
the
stratosphere.
That'd be fun.
No,
that's
like
good.
Back.
I like that. I'm into that. Or what about, like, hey, who's that baby? And they're like, Ben, stop crying. And it's like Solo. Young Kylo Ren. Does the timeline doesn't work, does it?
Well, no, what does it matter? Does. Boba Fett's 70, but,
yeah,
no,
you don't know
wait,
how...
the timeline
could
work. Supposed to be 6 years after Jedi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it could work.
So it could work.
We might be able to see. What about a baby Rey? So, sweet
wait,
baby
is
Rey.
Is that true? Is this 6 years after
Jedi?
Isn't
it? That's what
so
it's supposed to be.
The timeline could work theoretically there. And also, I swear that when they landed on Tatooine, the little, like, gate thing, I thought we were back on Jakku for a moment. That gate,
the little yeah
it looked just like it, but maybe that's just what a space
it can't be
station
Donald
game.
Glover though, because it would be old Lando.
Well, they'll do CGI.
Oh yeah, you're right,
yeah,
it can't be Donald
because we've already seen Lando pass. I mean, they'll age him up. That's what I thought. Either they'll
right,
have
that'd
him
be funny.
I mean, what if it's just Billy Dee Williams?
Oh my god. You're
just telling you how messy things are right now, that it's that difficult to, like, keep the timeline in check, is that I'm like,
whatever. I'm not kidding. Like, the fact that Boba Fett is so old is, like, throwing everything out of whack.
They made a father reference. I'm throwing out a new prediction. Add the fourth prediction now. Pretty soon, I'm just going to snow it so one of these is right. Baby Kylo Ren. Working with Luke. Luke is going to be watching Grogu and baby Kylo Ren.
So that's very possible that it's something like that. I was thinking that it'd be young Kylo Ren, but that wouldn't work out timeline-wise. But him being, like, really young would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's there for a play date with Grogu, and then the back of Han Solo picks him up so we don't see Han's face.
And,
like, looking over the... Yeah. And looking over Han's shoulder as he's holding the baby on his shoulder is just like, you know, Kylo looking back and his eyes go red for a second before he turns away.
Yeah.
This one's trouble.
Ryan, you have not talked at all, and I know you've got to have a lot to say about this, and I am not caught up. The Siege of Mandalore. We saw live action Siege of Mandalore for a moment.
Well, we saw the Night of a Thousand Tears.
Yes.
Oh, is that? Am I getting it wrong? Because
I think it's it's post. It's like not exact. So, okay. I was trying to actually get this, like, correctly, and I might be wrong, but it's like the Night of a Thousand Tears like followed the Siege of Mandalore, but the Siege of Mandalore was happening concurrently with Order 66.
Right. Mm.
So then the Purge would have happened soon thereafter. I don't know if it was like immediately though. I imagine it would have been. So it's like the Siege of Mandalore happened just before the Purge, which would be the Night of a Thousand Tears. But I understand what you're saying. It was the first time that we saw live action Mandalore.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet that said, but at what price? you know, it's like this is such like a sweaty phrase, but the Mandalorian lore, the Mandalorian, is like so rich. And so much of that has to do with Filoni, because he loved Boba Fett so much that he wanted to build that out for so long. And he spent years building out like with other writers and stuff and the story team, but like the Mandalorian lore. And I think it's just so rich. It's always interesting. You know, the same thing every time they say stuff like, have you removed your helmet, or has anyone else removed your helmet? When they explore that, it's just like inherently interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's world building. It's great. We know just how much it means to our character.
Say no, I left it on. Oh, okay, cool.
We know how much it means to our main character of this episode. It means nothing to the main character of the show we're watching.
Yeah.
Who is not a Mandalorian.
He's not a Mandalorian.
Specifically not a Mandalorian, so much so that it makes him so much less interesting.
It would be cool.
And also it speaks to how much they've done with Mandalorian and his belief in like the Mandalore way, that like Boba Fett just seems disrespectful at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, as we've explored in Mandalorian season 2, where he said you shouldn't have this armor.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't wait. I'm going to just going to watch season 2 again.
I'm want to watch this episode again, and I honestly, a week ago, if you would have told me, Mike, you're going to desperately want to watch another episode of the Book of Boba Fett, I would have said absolutely no chance. There's no chance I am going to want to revisit this anytime soon. And there isn't, because this isn't an episode of the Book of Boba Fett, so
right.
It doesn't actually count.
It was a surprise episode of The Mandalorian, which is cool. Like, thanks for that.
Thank you. Look at this. Look at this conversation. Look at how much this is just fun when they do things that are less cumbersome and dragging and, I don't know, poorly thought out.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
They expanded our worldview of Star Wars, and that those moments in Star Wars are the best moments, when you can kind of wallow in the pieces that are make you comfy and cozy, but then it's just when you get those little details that spawn a night of a thousand questions. You get that's like the fact that we're even asking what that is those are the fun parts of Star Wars. That's why we watch. That's why I watch.
You know what I watch for? Amy Sedaris.
Oh, she's great. So fun.
That was perfect.
The Jawas, that was fun.
Yeah, the dating. I dated a Jawa. Yeah.
So
I noticed
this time, so they make like a Beggar's Canyon reference and a Queen of Naboo reference. They like, you know, all this stuff. And like, granted, that's all fan service, cool, but it is like a world that they're living in, and it's rewarding people for knowing these things. But what makes it more interesting when they do stuff like that, and why I don't think it's as successful in the Book of Boba Fett, the other show that's airing concurrently with this one, is so when she says the Queen of Naboo, when she says you're approaching Beggar's Canyon, it brings in that classic Star Wars thing of dramatic irony, where that means something to us, but it means nothing to them.
Yeah.
Right, it's just like establishing this world where like everything is connected, and that's like a beautiful thing. But like, they don't necessarily know that. You know, it's not in this like in this direct way. Like, you're a Palpatine now. It's just like the Queen of Naboo commissioned that. That means something to us because we know who the Queen of Naboo was.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything to Din Djarin. He just knows that there was a Queen of Naboo.
Exactly.
But we get to have that moment where we're like, wow.
Yes.
Like, now we're following this guy, and like, look at how connected these things are, even like the beauty of like fate and destiny, all of this stuff. Where Boba Fett, when they do this, it's like, yeah, well, that dude was there though the whole time. Like, I understand he wasn't in everything, but it's like he was, you know, if they talk about the Sarlacc pit, it's like, yeah, because like we know about the Sarlacc pit because of him.
I Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's, I mean, the one thing that could go is, since he always has his helmet off, it's like a helmetless Boba Fett could meet Han Solo or Luke, and they might not be the wiser.
That's true.
That could happen, but I don't know if they'll do that. That seems out of the realm, but...
I thought you'd be younger.
Yeah, exactly. Wait a second. You?
Boy, the salad pet makes you age terribly.
I think that's a phenomenal assessment there, Ryan, though. It's like, the way to use this stuff is for us, not for the characters, you know?
And well, it's the beauty of... Sam's not here, so I could bring it up for him. Star Trek 09, there's beautiful moments in that when, like, when Kirk meets Scotty, right? And it's like, he doesn't know that he's supposed to meet Scotty, but we know that. So, like, we get to have this moment of, like, oh my god, look, they're together. Even though the timelines have shifted, like, they were supposed to be together, right? Mm-hmm. And then they get to have, like, the organic moment. But when you have Boba Fett involved in it, it skews that whole thing, and then it literally just makes it, like, fan service. It literally just makes it, like, we're showing them stuff. You know? Because, again, if Boba Fett's talking about the Sarlacc pit, we're like, yeah, well, he's the one who fell in the Sarlacc pit. If Poe Dameron's talking about the Sarlacc pit, then we're like, whoa, I guess Sarlacc pits are a thing people know about.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, they're feared around the galaxy.
Yeah, and that's world building. It's not just references. So.
Yep.
Great episode of television. Jesus Christ. Like, they had this up their sleeve the whole time?
What are they doing?
I still can't get over it. It is one of the funniest things that I've ever seen a television show do.
I love it.
Just be like, today it's a different show.
Well, how about, you talked a little bit about Beggar's Canyon. How about following the path of the pod race? Yeah. How about showing exactly that path and then, go ahead, Chris.
You could keep going with this. I was just going to say, it was just like, it was the production value in the episode too was pretty incredible. I mean, we were seeing some very interesting things that weren't just sand. You were going through the parts, the interesting parts of Tatooine and this, like the ring world. The whole thing was just, you were really seeing things that really hit the journey home.
And I can't take credit for this, but I saw someone share on TikTok, the gate is still broken from where Anakin went off the off ramp on the side, like whatever that.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And then,
if you freeze frame it, the gate is still broken.
Oh,
apart.
That's phenomenal. And then almost shooting the Womp Rat.
Yeah,
in Beggar's Canyon was the.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for a shot.
They also do that, like, Chris, we talked about this a few years ago when we watched episode one together. They do that, like, a version of that telephoto shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, where like the shot of the pod races with like the mirage lines and stuff? Yep, they do like a version of that.
Yes, exactly. I wonder if, I'm sure we'll get a special features how they're like, we actually pulled up the original CGI models and they look just, you know, or something like that. Like, they absolutely did that like Horizon shot. And they did the Star Wars video game thing too. Like before you go into a canyon, somebody on the comms is like, hey, all right, you're about to go into beggar. Like,
And we mentioned this, but like, I feel like we just should again, Bryce Dallas Howard directed this episode. Mm-hmm. I think she did an amazing job, with it. She's directed a few episodes of television, not just of this. She did an episode of Black Mirror, I believe, as well. And like, it's always impressive. I think that her first episode of Mandalorian just like wasn't like the story wasn't as compelling, but it was like well directed. But this, I thought, like, really knocked it out of the park. Like, geez Louise.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think there's some argument to be said, an argument being had within the droids. Sam, who's not with us, would argue that she did a better job than her father. I will argue opposite of that, but I will also say
there's no Clint.
There's no Clint. It's also very hard to argue, you know, TV streaming episode in the middle of, well, not actually in the middle of the show, just pulled out of a show, versus a movie where you have to have it self-contained. Great that they both are doing stuff. A lot of fun. Glad to have it.
Well, here's
now
the
stop
direct
showing
comparison.
Us the things we don't want to see. Yeah.
Here's the direct comparison, right? Robert Rodriguez has been making movies since 1992. feature films, action films. He's done a ton of stuff. He's directed television, and she folded him like laundry in this episode. So there's a direct comparison.
There you go.
Not that it's a competition, it's art and stuff, but like, geez, Louise.
Is he done? Has he directed all his episodes? I take it. I'm sure he directs the finale, right? There's probably no way he doesn't direct the finale.
It's so hard to describe. Like, Chris just put it like perfectly with a sense of relief, where like, and I mean that literally, like almost in a musical way, where it's just like, you don't realize how dissonant this has all been until you see it like being done well.
Just I think the magic of the scene of like them being on an airplane and the little kids staring at them, and then that comes back again, like that, it felt like we were observing something. And I don't know if Star Wars always, that's the feeling it should get, is that we're watching something from the outside. And I think it literally took a little kid in the show itself to illustrate that for me to get that feeling again. And I really hope that there's more like this, because it's like, it pulls you out of it, especially when you're watching Boba Fett, where you're just like, okay, I know what they're doing here. I see, like, when you're in it that way. But this episode, I lost all that. And that was that kind of sigh of relief of like, whew, we're back.
I mean, even in that first scene, just the exchange where he's like, where he's taking in the bounty.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like where the dude just says, like, how do you even know he's here? And he just shows him the key fob.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Or just the fob, I guess, not whatever it is. But it was just like, it was like a perfect exchange, and like, it was paced wonderfully. I could bring you in warmer, I could bring you in cold, and then a dude bites his hand.
Thing about that scene that kind of bothered me, and I'm glad they showed the concept art afterwards, where it was like the head of some alien creature. Instead, they just had some rack of ribs or rack of cows or whatever it was. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's literally just cows.
Like, you're taking me out of it a bit, because that doesn't look right. That just looks like real life. I'm not a fan of that species. There's been a little bit of this, and I haven't said this before on the podcast, but this season of Star Wars television, and I love the makeup artists, I love the practical effects, and most of the time the practical effects are amazing. The masks from the syndicate that meets at Jabba's palace with Boba, and the masks of these dog-like creatures, they're giving me Halloween Town vibes.
I think it could have used like a better overdub, honestly. It sounded like they were struggling with the teeth a little.
I think that's playing into that classic nostalgia factor. I mean,
make it kind of look bad?
Yeah, I think.
But you know what was great?
That's another thing that kind of takes you out of it, but yeah.
I think what was great, and I think it was a hybrid, was the alien that he brings the head to.
Mm-hmm.
That looked really cool.
Yeah, that looked great.
Oh, yeah.
That looked great.
And I think it was a hybrid thing. I think the mouth was like CGI, and like, it was probably a mask.
I wanted
Everyone
to watch
was like,
that
you
meal.
Might want to put that on ice. That was cool. That's cool.
I wanted to watch them hang out and actually have a dinner. I wanted that conversation.
Yeah.
How did that go? We don't really see enough of how he eats. I mean, he lifts up his helmet a little bit when he's alone, so he can only eat when he's alone. Yeah. There's got to be like, give me a big twirly straw, a swirly one, and get that under the helmet, and then I can enjoy my meal.
He never has like an itch on his nose.
You know how like she asks if they've ever removed their helmet, and it's like he has trouble like... You know, you're like, he hesitates, and then he's like, yes, I have. You know how, like, as a character, we know him well enough to know why he did that?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, we joke that he could lie, but you know he's not gonna lie, because it's like, he has a code, and, like, we know him well enough. Isn't it just, like, so nice to see a character who you understand why they're doing what they're doing?
It does feel good.
That it's laid out that clearly.
Where you're just like, yeah, that's the decision that they would make.
I do want to go back to the Nabooian vessel and just, you know, why didn't they buff off the last bits of yellow? It just kind of felt weird. Like, you're buffing off most of the yellow, but then you left like a little twinge of it. I just couldn't understand that part. That was odd to me.
A reference to the past.
But you show him buffing out the yellow. It's not like if it was a ship he picked up on and was already done. And you didn't show him literally trying to remove the yellow. I mean, if anything, we know he's pretty meticulous in what he does. I was that just didn't really make sense to me. But
fair. Also, the droid port is now like a little Grogu window.
Yeah,
yes, that's 100% Grogu window.
But also, he can't do anything in that ship. Like, there's no cargo hold. There, like, he can't do anything in there.
It's not good for him.
It's
not the best fit.
Like, he can get around.
This is why I think this will be quite temporary.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get, like, maybe a couple shots of Grogu up there. Then he's going to abandon it, and he'll get a new Razor Crest or type of ship similar to that, because they're just going to want to have more chances for him to have scenes in the hull of a ship.
Here's the thing. They should give him Boba Fett's ship for some reason. It's been renamed. We don't use the old name, and I'm fine with that.
Yep. I don't mind.
That's kind of like a canonical thing that's been decided, and I'm totally good with that.
Yeah, I don't care.
So Boba Fett's ship, they should just give it to Din Djarin, and then we could all be done with it. You know what I mean? Like, we could all be like,
yeah, okay,
we now no longer need Boba Fett. We have the ship.
We have a ship.
We have the armor. We have a better character. Moving on.
He's going to be like, oh, why is there Sarlacc spit all over the windshield?
Right.
My guess is that there's still something left to be found in that ship. That's going to be some kind of connection to something. Yeah. I'm sure there's a prop or something. Maybe, remember in Last Jedi, there was like a necklace, and we're like, where did that come from? I guess that came from Solo, though, right?
Yeah.
You mean the dice?
Was it the dice? They didn't come from Solo. It was originally in Empire Strikes Back.
Ah, right.
But it wasn't featured like super heavily. It was just
It was just kind of there.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm not looking forward to building that as a Lego. The new one doesn't look great for a Lego build.
If it's a Technics, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
That engine stuff, I like.
I mean, you just know when there's like, okay, you destroyed one ship, you got another ship coming for us to get some merch, right? You got more
exactly.
more stuff you're selling.
Exactly.
That's something. What you're going for.
Hot rod up the Naboo Starfighter.
At least they made that look good and didn't make it bright pink with mirrors all over it.
I also love how much they established that, like, without Grogu, he's, like, really missing something.
Yeah.
Like, not just in his own, like, body language, the way that he's behaving, but everyone that he runs into, like, asks him about it. Like, where's the kid? Like, you know, it's just a good way to establish that he was so associated with Grogu. I don't know. That's just an observation. I don't know.
Yeah,
this show rocked. This episode rocked. It wasn't
the
show.
I'm probably going to watch it again when we're done. I think I'm going to watch it right after
this. I watched it twice. Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting hyped on it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Wow. Yeah.
This is fun. This is what we want. Ooh. This is what we hope we get more of.
Yeah. I literally, if they were like, listen, if they issued a statement on Twitter that was like, listen, we're just dropping the Boba Fett thing. Like, just it's done. Like, just we're dropping it. Like, the next episode of The Mandalorian, we will pretend that this never happened. Like, I'd be like, all right, listen, you win some, you lose some, I'd think. But now they have to, like, wrap
Boba Fett had to go back to his home planet.
Everybody should be talking about him when he's not on screen. Boba Fett? Boba Fett where?
It's already... These guys at Wikipedia. Shout out to Wikipedia. They already got the appearances of the N1 Naboo Starfighter listed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's ones after it now, too.
Yeah, what if they go back to, like, help Boba Fett in the next episode, and they're like, he's just gone. He left. And they're like, what do you mean? And they're like, he left. I don't know. He left.
I think he really figured out that living in the Sarlacc pit was the best thing for him.
And they're just like, we don't know. Sometimes people leave.
He accidentally froze himself.
And then it gets really existential. Yeah, people are in your life one day, and the next day they're on your life.
And then cut to 30 years, we see him working at Dax's diner. Aren't you?
You mean he's the fry cook?
He's the fry cook.
Aren't I your waiter? Yes.
Just depends on how big your manners are in your pocketbook.
I can't believe that one episode prior, you had a character telling a bounty hunter that money could buy muscle, and now we had this episode, which was incredible. The episode before was like they forgot any basic understanding of who the character was.
It's wild. It's wild.
It's a real
I could not believe it. I could not. I still can't believe it. It is crazy.
I mean, look, we all get busy, and, you know, Favreau insisted on doing it all himself, so clearly gave a little short shaft to the Boba Fett episodes. It's like, let me just focus on Mando.
Yeah, this was like a 50-minute episode, too. It was long. It was packed.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
Whew.
Well,
there we go. Well, fun times.
Yeah, next week we'll get like 15 minutes of something good and another 30 minutes of something not so good because we'll get Mando in it for 15 minutes.
That's right. That's right.
My guess. Yeah. That's my guess. Well, send us more emails. We'd love to hear from you, droidspod@gmail.com. Thank you for sending one in. Was it Daniel, right?
David.
Oh, sorry, David. Oh, oh boy.
You poked the hornet's nest now.
Oh, no.
You think you were sending emails before.
Cut it out. Cut it out.
I'll tell you what, that cake is molten.
Hey, there it is.
Well, that will do it for the droids you're looking for, a Star Wars podcast. Catch you later, Daniel.
What thing, Grogu? Grogu?
Should we redo the end so I don't say I feel bad?
No, it's fine. Don't worry.
I don't want to. I feel bad.
All you have to do is say the word David, and then you can splice it in.
I don't want to make the work for Ryan.
He loves it.